Well, I was not surprised to be preaching tonight, but it may seem like it after you hear the sermon. I don't know if that happened to me, like Will, you'd have probably seen my wheels leaving the parking lot if I found out 2 minutes before it was time for me to lead singing. Scare me to death. Over these next couple of probably months, I want to talk on these Sunday nights about the kingdom of God when either Casey isn't preaching or we don't have singing night. And we're going to probably spend most of that time in the parables in the book of Matthew, because really Matthew is all about the kingdom of God. And I think it is incredibly important for us to define what is the kingdom of God. I think a lot of times, maybe even too often, we have a misunderstanding about the word or the idea of kingdom. And if we misunderstand kingdom, then we misunderstand the gospel. If we misunderstand what the expectations were for the kingdom because of what all the prophets and the scriptures that the people of Jesus' day had, what they were expecting, then we misunderstand what Jesus taught and what Jesus accomplished, and we misunderstand really what we are a part of. So I think it's incredibly important for us to understand the concept of kingdom. Again, I think too often sometimes we use the word kingdom and church synonymously, that they are synonymous, when it really isn't. The church and the kingdom are not synonymous ideas. The church is certainly people of the kingdom. The church is the assembled people, the gathered people, even if we're not gathered together in one place yet, someday we will be. But all of the people of the world that belong to Jesus, we will be gathered together absolutely. And we are citizens of God's kingdom, but kingdom and church are not synonymous. The word kingdom refers to rule and reign. And so specifically, if we're talking about God's kingdom, we are talking about God's rule and reign, and all throughout the prophets, through the scriptures of the Old Testament, the expectation that the people of Jesus' day had concerning the kingdom was that it was all going to be what it was all going to be like when God rules and when God reigns. And so I want us to look at a few passages tonight from some of the prophets, from the prophecies that formed, not only formed the expectations for the people of Jesus' day, but it also formed the very vocabulary and the language that Jesus would use to explain who he was and what he was doing. If you want to turn over to Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to read some there in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 5. Isaiah 9, verse 5 says, "For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult." Well, what does that mean? It means that the war is over. The loud and noisy chaos of the trampling warriors, it is all comes to a standstill. And every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for fire. Why? Because to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So this passage, and really every passage that we're going to look at tonight and that refers to the kingdom, is really all about one important word, and it's peace. Peace because the battle is over. The battle has been won. The Messiah, God's anointed king, brings down every enemy of God, and peace is established. Look over at Isaiah chapter 11, and let's just read the first 9 verses. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall not eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand over the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the prophecy, when the Messiah comes, when King Jesus comes, there will be utter peace. There will be no conflict. In fact, it's described as the wolf lying down with the lamb, a cow and a bear grazing together in a field, like a child playing over the hole of a cobra and not being bit. Well, why? Because the world is full of the knowledge of the Lord and there is utter peace. Every enemy has been destroyed. And that's what all of these prophecies are about when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's about every enemy of God being destroyed and God ruling and reigning with utter peace. If we look over to Daniel chapter 7, we've spent some time in Daniel chapter 7 at the end of the year. But beginning in verse 13, there it's recorded Daniel saying, I saw good times for you people at home. I promise this is scriptural. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. I don't know if somebody want to come mess with that or not. Who knows? We'll leave it. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the cloud of heaven, there came like one, like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And then if we look down in Daniel 7, verse 18, it tells us there that the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. So there's another piece to this puzzle about this idea of the kingdom. It's not only shall God rule and reign, but there be utter peace and every enemy of his destroyed, but also the saints, the holy ones of God will reign with him. They will be given the kingdom. Verse 18 says they will possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. If we skip down to verse 27 of Daniel 7, it says, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Everyone shall serve and obey him. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about God reigning this kind of way. Here, I guess, is how I would put it. The kingdom of God means that God's uncontested reign or God's uncontested rule. Now, God has always ruled. God has always reigned. But God's rule and reign is contested right now. He has enemies that stand opposed to him. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. So death is an enemy of God. Sin is an enemy of God. And as long as these enemies exist, then God's rule and reign is contested. He has enemies, and this idea is that eventually there will be a time when God will reign and rule in an uncontested way. So when Jesus would come and he would teach about the kingdom of God, and again, that's what we're going to be doing probably all summer, if I know your preacher like I do, and we're blessed with that time. But we will spend time talking about Jesus using his parables. How is this rule and reign of God going to be established? How is God going to reign in an uncontested way? Need to keep going. All right. So how is God's rule and reign going to be happening in an uncontested way? How is every enemy of God going to be destroyed? Now, the expectation for the people in Jesus' day was that it was going to happen immediately, that the Messiah was going to show up and that he would destroy all of God's enemies, and then in the immediate way, God's rule and reign would be uncontested. But Jesus says it's not going to be what you were expecting. God's rule and reign, God's uncontested reign, will be established, and it is being established, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen immediately. That's not the way that the kingdom is going to come. So, as people of the kingdom, it's incredibly important for us to recognize this, that yes, we have come into the kingdom as Christians. God rules with us in an uncontested way. But God's reign on this world, in this world, is still contested. There are still enemies of God, including sin and death, that have yet to be destroyed. So again, over the next month or so, I want us to look at Jesus' parables and talk about how Jesus' uncontested reign being established through what he is doing and what he continues to do through his people. And that's us, the people who will receive the kingdom. And that's our inheritance. Our inheritance will be God's uncontested reign. Utter peace. No enemies left. All of God's enemies destroyed. How is he destroying his enemies? How is he bringing his uncontested reign? And how are we playing a part in all of that? That's what Jesus' parables about the kingdom is all about. And that's what I want us to explore on Sunday nights. Tonight, this sermon is no different than any other sermon. We always end with an invitation to become part of this kingdom, to one day enjoy the inheritance of God's uncontested rule and reign, and put Christ on through baptism. Or you might find yourself as a Christian that you are struggling in some way. Well, we are here to help, and we want to help. Just make your needs known if you want to come, as together we stand and we sing.